Already, Chatzimea again, and here we are, day two. The message I have today, I wouldn't call it a part two of yesterday's message, but I would call it connected, certainly, with the message from yesterday. And it's interesting with Greg's message and even some of the other, I almost feel it's more like Passover than it is Sukkot, you know, with wilderness and the messages and whatnot. But, you know, Sukkot is also wilderness, right? Because that's what we're remembering, the children of Israel in the wilderness at Sukkot, when they lived in Sukkot during their 40 years in the wilderness because of that. But we'll talk about that in another message. But today's message is called The Plagues of Egypt, The Wilderness in the End Time. The Plagues of Egypt, The Wilderness in the End Time. And I mentioned this yesterday that the 10 plagues of Egypt, ending up with the parting of the Red Sea, is probably the most amazing feat that Yahweh has ever done in the intervention of mankind that we know of. You know, you could look in the Bible and you could see small stories that have happened and miracles that have happened here. You know, you see that when the great general and king Sennacherib comes to Jerusalem and 185,000 people are dead in the morning, right? So there's different things. But I don't think you could look in the Bible and find anything remotely that equals the Exodus. You know, like I said, Egypt and Pharaoh, they're the world leader and they have armies and all this stuff. And what Yahweh did to show that. And then, like I said, the literal parting of the Red Sea, that there's no doubt that who was doing it, that it was Yahweh doing it. In the beginning, they might not have known. And they even tried to supplement what Moses was doing with the priests of Egypt doing the same thing. But in the end, we know that even Pharaoh admitted it. You know, that Yahweh, he is the only true Elohim. Now, though, in the end time, Yahweh will once again deliver his people from the bondage of Egypt. And like I was saying yesterday, that's why I gave that message first, comparing Egypt to the world. But Yahweh is going to do it similar in the times we're living in today. And a matter of fact, when you get in the book of Revelation, if you look up the word cherub, messenger, malak, however you want to call it, but it's the same thing, angel, what you'll find is that there is more angelic intervention in the book of Revelation than anywhere else in the entire Bible. And a matter of fact, even if you look at the Exodus, there wasn't so much angelic intervention that was there. It was mostly Yahweh using Moses, right? And Moses, staff that Yahweh was pulling the strings, of course. But you didn't see a lot of angelic intervention in the Exodus. Now in the end time, you're going to see a lot of it. You're seeing it all over the place. You know, because there's a point where Satan is literally on the earth. The demons that were chained and locked from Genesis 6 are allowed out. And, you know, there's kind of chaos. Of course, the headquarters of it is Babylon, Revelation 18. That's the headquarters of Satan during this time. And every foul spirit and demon is there at that headquarters. But they'll be all over the earth, too. It won't just be in Babylon. You know, they're going to go out from there and maybe come back from there. But they'll come all over the earth. So, and Yahweh is going to deliver his remnant from Egypt's bond, the bond of the world, and deliver them to the promised land through the wilderness. So the same thing that you read in Exodus is going to happen in our time. It's going to parallel exactly, only we're going to make it this time, right? Where the children of Israel failed and only 2 out of 2 million, you know, 20 years old and older, made it. Now in the end time, we're going to accomplish something they didn't. And like I said, I plan on giving two messages during the feast on the Qumran sect. And that's what they believed. That's why they went to the wilderness, because they knew they had to leave the world. There was no problem with them. They were convicted of it. And even when it didn't happen in their time frame, it didn't make a difference. They weren't going thinking it might happen in the next 10 years. They knew when they left. According to their thinking, and when I go into the message, I'll show you, they thought it was 100 years later. So everyone who left to the wilderness knew they'd be dead before it happened. And they still went because they went for their children and their grandchildren. They knew we had to be purified from the world because the Messiah is not going to come to a corrupted people. So let's start Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Because I want us to get the sense, you know, sometimes it's hard because we live in the world and the world doesn't understand this. And sometimes when things happen where Yahweh's doing something, you know, like if you're like a Job or somebody that's set apart and you're there by yourself, or you're like Elijah, you know, I'm here and I'm left alone. You wonder, is it really real? And even though you know it's real because all the people around you don't see it, sometimes you keep having to knock yourself. So I want to show you that even in the days of Pharaoh, it was the same thing. So Matthew 24 and verse 14. Says, and this good news of the kingdom will be published in all the earth for a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And I say that this is something that's collectively for Yeshua's remnant in the end times. It's not for one man. It's not for one group. It's collectively. But I do believe that the Hebraic Roots Bible and the Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem has been a pillar in this. You know, we've had millions and millions of downloads. I can't tell you exact number at this point, but probably more than 12 million, maybe more than that even, maybe 15 million, just Bible downloads, you know, in the last X amount of years here. But this is what it is. It's the good news being published in all the earth. We're getting ready to do another publishing of it. We've also printed tens of thousands of Bibles over and over and over. And that's not even including when I say the downloads. That's only the download like PDF. That doesn't include phones, where most of the stuff now is downloaded onto phones. So who knows how many people, when you look at it all together with Androids and phone downloads and all that kind of stuff. And when you see the sign of uncleanness and desolation that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, which will stand in the holy place, he that reads, let him understand. Then let those in Judea flee into the mountains. So that's where the fleeing's coming, right? We're fleeing into the mountains. The one on the roof, don't let him go down to take anything out of the house, right? So this is going to happen really quick. You know, that's why I say you need to be planning now, because when this event happens, you're not going to have a lot of time. And the one in the field, let him not turn back to take his garment. But woe to the ones having a child in the womb. And I think that, no, I'll keep going a couple more verses. And those nursing in those days, and pray that your flight will not occur in the winter on the Sabbath day. And we're starting to understand that, right? The winters are getting worse and severe. And on the Sabbath, you can't buy and sell, you know? What if you're going by car and you can't get gas? For there will be great suffering, such as not has happened from the beginning of the world until now, no, nor ever will be. And except those days were shortened, not any flesh would live. But on account of the chosen, those days will be shortened, right? Many are called, few are chosen. So I say, in most of the generations up until now, in the white throne judgment, some are going to make it, some aren't going to make it. But in the generation we're living into now, if you look at the scriptures, 98% of the people on the planet now will not make it. They're not going to make it. Because we know that the vast majority of people in the world will accept the mark of the beast. And whoever accepts the mark of the beast will go to the lake of fire. Then if anyone says to you here, well, I think I'm going to stop there for now, verse 22. So we see that we have the witness of the kingdom of Yahweh, which we've been doing, right, with the Matthew 24 program for, well, probably 8 years now. It's amazing that how much growth has come from there, you know, just in our congregation. Never mind, I don't know with the other congregations that are also witnessing, preaching, whatever. But I know in our congregation, we have hundreds of new congregations worldwide just from Matthew 24 program that we've been doing. And then the remnant going to the wilderness, like it says, if it's not for the remnant's sake. But in the days of Moses, most of the people didn't believe. The same today. You think that this is something different. There's nothing new under the sun, like Solomon says. But in the days of Moses, it was the same thing, that the vast majority of people are not going to believe. So let's go to Exodus 5. Exodus 5. So now, right, we see that in Exodus 4 in Exodus 3, that Moses comes to Yahweh for the first time. He comes up the mountain, and Yahweh tells him his will. He sees that Yahweh is real. And Moses, like I said, you don't see it in the Ten Commandment movie when you're looking at Charlton Heston. He's got a real good voice, you know, and powerful. But Moses stuttered. Moses couldn't even speak. He had a stuttering problem like that. So now, Yahweh's telling him, you're going to go down and you're going to go to Pharaoh, the most powerful guy in the world, and you're going to say these things so you can understand why he's a little hesitant to do that, to the point that Yahweh got angry at him, you know. And he says, well, who gives man voice and who takes it away? You know, your brother Aaron's on the way, he'll speak for you. So he goes through this for two chapters with Yahweh, right? And now, Yahweh himself, where else in the Bible do you see someone coming before the face of Yahweh, Yahweh talking to him, and Yahweh saying, now go and do this. Would you have any fear or inhibition if that happened in your life? If Yahweh's right there before you, and his fire is there, and you're up not Sinai, of course not. But what happens when he goes down, right? Chapter 5, and afterward Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh. And what does he say? So says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, send away my people and they shall feast to me in the wilderness. Right? Game over. You don't be Yahweh. Come on, everybody. Let's go now. Not that easy. Verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is Yahweh that I should listen to his voice and send away Israel? I do not know Yahweh. And I will also not send away Israel. Isn't that the way it is today, right? Isn't it the way that it's saved today? So we're seeing the same thing. Even though you tell the people, the Bible says this is going to happen. The Bible says earthquakes going to happen. There's earthquakes everywhere. The Bible says that famine's going to happen. There's famine. The Bible says this is going to happen. What do the people keep saying? Like I said, it's a coincidence. They're not listening the same way, but it was the same way with Moses. Go to chapter 6 and verse 5. Chapter 6 and verse 5. Now, you can understand that people in the world don't believe it, right? But you would think the brethren would believe it. You would think the people that are over there, that they would believe it. Wouldn't that be the case? But let's take a look. Exodus 6. And starting in verse 5, it says, and I also have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the sons of Israel, I am Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt, and will deliver you from their slavery. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And I will take you for myself for a people, and I will be to you Elohim, and you will know that I am Yahweh your Elohim, the one bringing you out from under the burdens of Egypt. And I will bring you into the land which I raised my hand to give to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for a possession. I am Yahweh. Right? So, wow. So now these are the believers. These are the Israelites. And Yahweh's telling them this. Just tell them this. They're going to listen. And look at verse 9. And Moses spoke to the sons of Israel, and they did not listen to Moses, from anguish of spirit and from harsh bondage. Right? And I'll tell you something. Like I said, I've been around for 36 years in this walk. And I've seen a lot in 36 years. And 36 years ago, even more than that, even before I was born, you know, the prophecy, even if you go back to World War II, people were saying Hitler was the beast power. And maybe back then it seemed like Hitler was the beast power. And that the return was coming. I know in Church of God, they actually had a booklet years ago. It was called 1975. And in that booklet, it was that Yeshua was returning in 1975. It never happened. You know, I remember back in the early 1990s that you'd hear this stuff from, you know, on shortwave radio. And that the Russians are going to attack America. And they're hiding in the caves over there. You know, there's 2 million Russians. And then that, like 10 years go by. And you're asking, you know, no, they're still there. And it's like, well, what are they eating? You know, do they ever wash their clothes? How do they go to the toilet? Like, come on, they're not there. So we went through a lot of this, right? We went through a lot of the false prophecies, but that's part of prophecy. Part of the prophecy would be there'd be false prophecies. So we just can't fall for the false prophecies, but we have to look at the things that Yahweh said are going to happen in the end time are happening. And yet over here, just like in Egypt, they didn't believe it. And why didn't they believe it? From anguish of spirit, from the harsh bondage. Anguish of spirit. And I think that's what happened to a lot of believers. Even, you know, why a lot of them fell away. Because you just get to the point, they lose their focus. And now, you know, the cares of the world, the thorns and the thistles, and they just fall away from everything. And now no matter what, you can show them. I mean, you have the Revelation 12 signs, something that happens once every 7,000 years that man can't manipulate, of how these planets are lined up. Exactly like Yahweh says, according to the Maseroth. And there's still people that doesn't make any difference in the world. And it wouldn't make a difference. I thought to myself, you know, what if we, because, you know, we're planning on going down to Mount Sinai, you know, and seeing the original Mount Sinai. And what if we went down to the crossing site? And what if Yahweh opened the Red Sea again? And he might do it. There's some scriptures here that show me that very well could happen. What if it does? And what if we walk through that crossing site, right? And now, you know, you go back and you share with people and you say all these. Do you think it would make any difference whatsoever? I can tell you right now it'll make zero difference. Number one, 90% of the people won't even believe it. And even the ones that do, it would be like, oh, wow, that's neat. That's neat. You know, can I have another cup of coffee? You know, it's like we're to a point now because people are in the stupor that no matter what, and that's why I say miracles don't bring people to faith. Miracles are an extension of somebody's faith. You know, miracles don't bring people to faith. Because as soon as the miracle's gone, we see with the Israelites, so is the people when the next thing comes. But right here, this is a really interesting scripture that even the sons of Israel didn't follow. They didn't believe. Exodus 7 and verse 3. Exodus 7 and verse 3. He says, "And I will harden the heart of Pharaoh, and I will multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh will not listen to you. And I will put my hand on Egypt and will bring my armies, my people, the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt with great judgments. And the Egyptians will know that I am Yahweh when I send forth my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst." And Aaron and Moses did as Yahweh had commanded them, so they did. So we see, just like with Egypt, society will not listen, and Yahweh has to bring the plagues. So when you're looking at plagues like we're going through now, and more plagues that are coming, this is one of the reasons. And it's not going to change the people, but it's an outcome of their unbelief. And it's just like it was in the time of the Exodus. The Exodus and the plagues in Exodus were an outcome because of the disbelief of the people. Because if the people believed, if Pharaoh believed, and he let the Israelites go, you wouldn't have needed the 10 plagues. There would have been no reason for it. If the Israelites believed Yahweh, there would have been no reason to part the Red Sea. You know? So because of unbelief, this is why COVID is here. If we go to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 21. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 21. What is one of the plagues that Yahweh is going to send? "Yahweh will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from off the land where you are going to possess it. Yahweh will strike you with lung disease." Is COVID a lung disease? "And with fever," which one of the first things you get when you get COVID, you get a fever. "And with inflammation," it's inflammation of the lungs, which COVID is. "And with extreme burning," right? "And with the sword, and with blasting and mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish." So I find it very interesting that one of the first real plagues that we're getting here has to do with COVID. You know, it has to do with a worldwide plague like that. So what I want to do is, I really want to show you in this message now, because I wanted to start by showing you the parallel, but I want to parallel the plagues of Egypt with the plagues in Revelation that we see what's coming next. You know, because COVID we should have known about, because it says, how many times do we see? There's going to be famine, there's going to be plague. And even the exact plague of COVID is named there, if people don't listen. But actually, all of the plagues of Egypt are paralleled in Revelation. So let's go over and let's take a look at this. Because like we were saying yesterday, when we look at the plagues of Egypt, we're comparing the Revelation that Egypt is a type of the world in the end. And where in Exodus, the plagues were on Egypt, in Revelation, they're on the whole world. So let's go to Exodus 7. Exodus, the 7th chapter. Verse 19. And Yahweh said to Moses, say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the rivers, over the canals, over the pools, over every body of their waters, so that they may become blood. And blood shall be in the land of Egypt, both in wooden and in stone vessels. And Moses and Aaron did so, as Yahweh had commanded. And he lifted up the staff and struck the water which was in the river before Pharaoh's eyes, and before his servants' eyes, and all the water in the river turned to blood. And the fish in the river died, and the river stunk. And the Egyptians were not able to drink water from the Nile, and the blood was in the land of Egypt. Right? So water turning to blood, all the fish dying. This is one of the first plagues we see there. If we go to Revelation 16, verse 3 through 7. Revelation 16 through 7. And the second cherub poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood, as of a dead one. And every soul of life died in the sea. And the third cherub poured out his bowl onto the rivers and onto the springs of the water, and it became blood. And I heard the cherub of the water saying, you are righteous, O Holy One, who is and who was and who will be. Because you judge these things, since they poured out the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you gave blood to them to drink, for they were deserving. And I heard another out of the altar saying, yes, Yahweh Elohim Almighty, your judgments are true and righteous. So here it is. Like I said, in the Exodus, these plagues only happened in Egypt, but Egypt is a type of the world. Then we get to Revelation, and now it's worldwide. Now it's worldwide. Exodus 8, 1 through 6. And Yahweh said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, so says Yahweh, send away my people that they may serve me. And if you refuse to send them away, behold, I'm about to smite all your territory with frogs. And the river will swarm with frogs, and they will go up and enter into their house, and into their bedrooms, and their couch, and into your servants' house, and into your people, and in the ovens, and into the kneading troughs. And the frogs will come up on you, and on your people, and on all your servants. And Yahweh said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, and over the pools, and bring up frogs on the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. If we go to Revelation 16 and verse 13, hope that's not a plague. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons doing great signs, which go forth to the kings of the earth, even to the whole inhabitable world, to assemble them to the war of that day, the great day of El Shaddai. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is the one watching and keeping the garments, that he does not walk naked, that they may see his shame. So remember, in Egypt, right, the plagues came on the Egyptians, but they didn't come on the Israelites. And now, like I said, COVID is like the starting point. This is the first worldwide plague that's here. Praise Yahweh, I haven't heard of even one brethren that has died from COVID yet. But one thing is certain, as brethren who are going to be unbelieving, they will suffer the plagues as we see it. You know that the plagues are coming. Why? Because of unbelief. We looked at Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they didn't believe, so more plagues had to come. And in Revelation, it's not only the world that's not believing, sometimes it's the brethren that are not believing. So depending on what plagues are going to hit who and where is totally dependent on your faith and your belief. Exodus 9 and verse 8. Exodus 9 and verse 8. And Yahweh said to Moses and to Aaron, "Take for yourself the fullness of your hand of soot from the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heavens before Pharaoh's eyes. And let it become dust on all the land of Egypt, and let it become boils breaking out on the source of man and on livestock in all the land of Egypt." And they took soot of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it toward the heavens, and it became a boil breaking out into the source and on man and on livestock. And the priests were not able to stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the priests and on all the Egyptians. And Yahweh made heavy Pharaoh's heart, but he did not listen to them, as Yahweh had said that he would do. So, again, here it is. Because of their refusal to follow Yahweh, their refusal to unbelief, the boils come. If we go to Revelation 16, Revelation 16 and 1 and 2. And I heard a great voice out of the sanctuary saying to the seven cherubs, "Go and pour out the bowls of the anger of Yahweh onto the earth." And the first went away and poured out his bowl onto the earth, and it became a bad and malignant boil, a sore, unto the men, and the ones having the mark of the beast, and the ones worshiping its image. So, you know, we could speculate, because now that we know what the mark is, we know it's some form of a chip. Now they're talking tattoo, nano tattoo that's in you. You don't know what is inside of that. You know, I know some of these things have mercury, they have different things. We know that it's going to be extreme heat, right? It might be 130, 140 degrees. But whatever's going to happen, this chip is going to malfunction in the people, and they're going to get sores and boils, the ones who take it. So another reason to think, because at the time, right, it's going to seem like you're crazy if you don't take it. Everybody wants it, right? And if it's connected to a plague, then really everybody's going to want it. And then if it's connected to you can't leave your house, you can't get on a plane, you can't even buy in a supermarket without it, then of course everyone's going to want it. And if you're one of those few people that they're going to say you're so, you know, dumb that you didn't take this. But then later it's going to see that all the people that took it are getting these boils and these sores and some of them dying from it. But the people of Yahweh won't. So again, we see the parallel from Egypt to today. Boils on those who took the mark, not on the remnant of Yeshua. Exodus 11, 6 and 7. Exodus 11, 6 and 7. And a great cry shall be in all the land of Egypt, such as never has been, and nothing shall be like it again. And a dog shall not sharpen his tongue against all the sons of Israel, toward man and toward livestock, so that they may know that Yahweh distinguishes between Egypt and Israel. So again, pestilence on the world, but not on Yahweh's people. Let's go to Revelation 12, 11 and 12. Revelation 12. Or rather, 10 and 11. And I heard a great voice in heaven which said, "Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim, and the dominion of his Messiah. Because the accuser of our brethren is cast out, the one who accuses them before Elohim night and day. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their soul even until death." So this is what saves Yahweh's people in the end from getting the plague. What stops them from it is that the blood of the Lamb has covered them. They're protected by it. And like we read here in Exodus, right? It's coming on the sons of the world, but it didn't come on the people of Yahweh. Why? Because Yahweh distinguishes between Egypt and Israel, between the world and his covenant people. So this is where real faith comes in, right? Because like it says in the New Testament, if something is already given to you, where's the faith? There's no faith if you already had your prayer. Faith is knowing Yahweh can do something, not that it's already done. And like I said, Yahweh is going to test us. Because he's going to test us, whether it's the vaccine or it's something else, all these things, because at the time, all the people are going to be doing it, and all the people are going to be pressuring you. Whatever takes it, it's going to pay the consequences later. And you're going to have the faith to say, "No, I'm not doing it. I believe in this scripture, I'm not doing it." And then later on, you'll see, it's the same thing, you reap what you sow. And unfortunately, You know, for the people in the world and people we know, they're going to suffer if they follow these things and if they're not following Yahweh, because Yahweh distinguishes between Egypt and Israel. Yahweh distinguishes between the world and his people. And like I say, you know, you got a real big plague that's going on and killing many, many people. And worldwide, we have brethren all over the world, and yet not one brother or sister has died yet. Doesn't mean they won't, but it hasn't happened. Hasn't happened. You know what's interesting? If you look on the worldometer of all the countries with COVID, actually, because we're not a very big congregation, but where most of our brethren are is where there's no COVID. If you look at the countries, look at the countries in Africa where there's virtually no cases, that's where most of our brethren are, you know. And they're actually some of the poorest countries that you think would be the worst hotspots. And yet that's where there is, because Yahweh distinguishes between Egypt and Israel. Revelation 9 and verse 20. Revelation 9 and verse 20. And the rest of men, those not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they will not worship demons and golden idols and silver and bronze and stones and wooden idols, which neither are able to see nor hear or walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their witchcraft, nor their fornications, nor of their thefts. So that's why I'm saying, don't be surprised if the world don't see this. You know, don't be surprised as we go further and it gets worse if people in the world just make excuses because they're not going to see it. Even when they're being cursed. Instead of changing and saying, you know, you're right. You know what they're going to do? They're going to start cursing Yahweh. That's what's going to happen at that point. So this isn't for the world. It's for us. It's for us as his people to understand. Right? The people will still not repent even when the plagues come. Here's COVID, right? Do you see a lot of people repenting out there? Do you see anybody, even in religious circles, questioning if this could be a plague from Yahweh because of the sin that's in the world? None of them. I haven't heard anybody even talk about anything like that. Just another coincidence, right? Just happened to happen. You know, right at this time, it just happened to happen. If we go back to Exodus 9 and verse 13. Exodus 9 and verse 13. And Yahweh said to Moses, get up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, so says Yahweh, the Elohim of the Hebrews, send away my people that they may serve me. So why are the plagues coming? Because Yahweh wants his people to leave Egypt, to leave the world and go to the wilderness, to be sanctified. And as both the people aren't listening and the leaders, the world leaders aren't listening, because face it, are the world leaders listening in the world today? Not at all. Has anybody heard of any world leader anywhere in the world that has talked about, you know what, we need to change how we're doing things? Wow, with this, you know, plague here, we need to really believe this could be from Elohim. We need to change our behavior. We need to not at all. Not one world leader has come out and said that. So now it gets more intensified, because as they refuse to listen to Yahweh, and as the people refuse to go in the wilderness, the plagues have to come more. So continuing here in verse 14. For at that time I am going to send all my plagues to your heart and on your servants and on your people, so that you may know that none is like me in all the land. For now I have sent forth my hand and have stricken you and your people with pestilence, and you have been destroyed from the earth. And for this reason I have made you stand, in order to cause you to see my power, Yahweh speaking, and in order to declare my name in all the land. You still are exalting yourself against my people, so as not to send them away. Behold, I will rain very heavy hail about this time tomorrow, such as never been in Egypt from the day of its foundation until now. And now send out, bring your livestock to safety and all belonging to you in the field, all men and livestock found in the field and not brought to the house, and hail will come on them or they will die. Of the servants of Pharaoh and the one who feared the word of Yahweh made his slaves and his livestock flee to the houses. Drop down to verse 23. And Moses stretched out his staff to the heaven, and Yahweh gave sounds and hail, and fire came to the earth, and Yahweh rained hail on the land of Egypt. And there was hail and fire flashing in the midst of the hail, very heavy, which never had been in the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck in all the land of Egypt, and that was in the field from men and livestock. And the hail struck every plant of the field, and it broke in pieces every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel lived, there was no hail. So again, does Yahweh protect his people? You better believe it, right? Now, there's never been hail like this before, right? And up to this time, there's probably never been hail like that again. But when are we going to get that hail again? Let's go to Revelation. Revelation 16. Revelation 16 and verse 17. And the seventh cherub poured out his bowl into the air, and a great voice came down from the throne of the sanctuary of heaven, saying, "It is happened." And voices and thunders and lightnings occurred, and a great earthquake occurred, such as did not occur since man came into being on the earth. Such a huge earthquake, so great. Wow. And we've already seen, you know, in this world, up to 9.5. You can only imagine what this could be. My guess is it's going to be above a 10, you know, and who knows what damage. And then go to verse 21. And a great hail, as the size of a talent, 100 pounds. Can you imagine 100-pound hailstones flying down? Came down out of heaven upon men, and men blasphemed Elohim from the plague of the hail, because its plague is exceedingly great, right? So they're not crying out. They're not asking for help. They're not repenting. The pride is coming out. They're only getting more and more angrier. And we see that in the world today, right? You know, as these plagues come, are people having vigils in churches? No, they're going out and rioting. They're going out and breaking stuff. They're going out and looting. They're going out and doing all of these different things. And we're only just beginning. Just beginning. Go back to Exodus 10 now. 3 and 4. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said to him, "So says Yahweh Elohim of the Hebrews, until when will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Send away my people that they may serve me. For if you refuse to send away my people, behold, I am going to bring locusts into your territory tomorrow." Drop down to verse 12. And Yahweh said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand for the locusts over the land of Egypt, so that they may go up on the land of Egypt and may eat every plant of the land, all that the hail left." And Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and Yahweh brought an east wind on the land all that day and that night. And at the morning, the east wind lifted up the locusts. And the locusts went up over the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt, exceedingly many. Never were there locusts like them before, and afterward none will there be like them again. And they covered the eye of the earth, and the land became dark. And they ate every plant of the field and all the fruit of the fruit trees that the hail had left. And no greenness was left in the trees and in the plants and in the field in the land of Egypt. Is it interesting? Just this year, we had again, you know, coming from Africa and then going over to the Middle East and even toward Asia. But in Africa, it literally ate every single thing in its path. And like I said, many people didn't even plant. What's the point of planting? We're going to plant and then it's just going to be eaten away. But our brethren planted in faith. Our brethren prayed and they planted in faith. And what happened? The swarm of locusts came. They ate the neighbor's property. They ate all the properties around them. But when they came to the brethren, like a canopy above them, they just kept going. Didn't touch nothing. And the plants there, the corn, the maize, it's higher than they've ever seen in their life. We're harvesting now. It's the harvesting time over there that they're doing. And we had to build bigger barns because we couldn't fit all the stuff that Yahweh blessed us with. Because it's for all the different people in Kenya and other countries. Does Yahweh make a distinction between Egypt and his covenant people? You better believe it. And again, is it another coincidence? Is it another coincidence? You know, because I don't believe in coincidences. There's no coincidences with Yahweh. And he's shown us so much proof and so many miracles that shame on somebody that doesn't believe. Shame on anybody that doesn't believe. We've seen it firsthand. Firsthand with our people, right? You're talking about not an area. You're talking about a country that was decimated, that nothing was left. Look at the pictures. Look at the videos on the internet. 100% of it wiped out. And one little oasis in the middle that Yahweh blessed tremendously, you know, and nothing happened to it. Praise Yahweh for that. Revelation 9. Revelation 9 and verse 3. Revelation 9 and verse 3. Speaking again about locusts. And out of the smoke, locusts came forth to the earth, and authority was given to them as the scorpions of the earth have authority. And it was said to them that they should not harm the grass of the field, nor every green thing, nor every tree, except only the men who do not have the seal of Yahweh on their forehead. So like I said, get ready. If you don't take that mark, you are going to be pressured, ostracized. You won't be able to buy and sell. But later on is where you're going to benefit. Because the ones who take the mark, this is what's going to happen. They're tormenting the one who do not have the mark of Yahweh, but have the mark of the beast. And it was given to them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment is as the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death, and they will not find it. And they will long to die, but death will flee from them. And the likeness of the locusts were like horses having been prepared for war. And they had crowns on their heads like gold, and their faces were like faces of men. And their hair was like the hair of women, and their teeth like those of lions. And they had breastplates like iron breastplates, and the sound of their wings were like the sound of chariots with many horses running to war. And they have tails like scorpions, and their stings were in their tails, and their authority is to harm men for 5 months. For 5 months. It's interesting, that's exactly how long those locusts were in Africa for, when they went across there and basically decimated absolutely everything. So, we see the African plague, and then we see over here the locust plague, but Yahweh protects his people. Let's go back to Exodus 10. Or rather, Exodus 10 and verse 21. And Yahweh said to Moses, stretch out your hand to the heavens so that darkness may be on the land of Egypt and one may feel darkness. And Moses stretched out his hand to the heavens, and darkness of gloom was in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they did not see each one his brother, and they did not rise up each one from his place for 3 days. Yet all the sons of Israel, there was light in their dwellings. Wow, so how does that happen? They don't live that far from each other, you know, a couple of miles. And in one place it's so dark you can't see the hand in front of your face, and the other place it's completely light. Yahweh's miracle. Like I said, as long as we don't doubt, if he parted the Red Sea before, you honestly believe it, then what would make you doubt all these? Because every single plague and every single blessing that came in Exodus is coming in our day. The plague is coming for those who don't believe, and the blessing is coming for those who do. It's just a matter of which side do you want to stand on, right? So there's darkness over all the earth, Revelation 16, 10 and 11. And the fifth cherub poured out his bowl into the throne of the beast, and its kingdom became darkened. And they gnawed their tongues from the pain. And they blasphemed the Elohim of heaven from their pains and from their sores, and they did not repent of their works. So again, just like in Egypt, where the people didn't change, they didn't repent, we're going to see the same thing in the end time. And then the last plague, Exodus 11. Exodus 11 and verse 1. And Yahweh said to Moses, I will bring yet one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt, after which he will send you from here. When he sends you away completely, surely he will drive you out from here. Now speak into the ears of the people and let them ask, each man from his neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. And Yahweh gave favor in the eyes of the Egyptians toward the people. And the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the eyes of the servants of Pharaoh and in the eyes of the people. And Moses says, so says Yahweh, about the middle of the night I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt will die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, the one sitting on the throne, to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the mill, and every firstborn of animals. And a great cry shall be in all the land of Egypt, such as never has been, and nothing like it shall be again. So we see the last plague is the death of the firstborn. And then we go to Revelation 6. And this is a plague that will be on Yahweh's people, martyrism. But it's not because of punishment. It's because of honor. Revelation 6 and verse 9. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those having been slain for the word of Yahweh and for the witness which they had. And they cried with a great voice, saying, until when, holy and true master, do you not judge and take vengeance for our blood from all those dwelling on the earth? And there was given to each one a white robe, and it was said to them that they should rest for a little while, until might be fulfilled also the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, those about to be killed as they were. Revelation 13 and verse 7 also, and it was given to the beast to make war with the saints to overcome them, and authority was given over every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation. So here we have it. All the plagues come, right, on the earth, but Yahweh protects his people because the plagues are not for the people of Yahweh, the plagues are for the earth. But then Yahweh allows Satan to try the saints. And Satan is going to have a great martyrism. And it's going to, although Yahweh is going to allow it, it's going to anger him so much that that's where the day of Yahweh comes, where he'll wipe out the earth. He'll wipe out everybody that is not of the truth, everybody who's not of him. And that's why I said, in the end, you see, where there'll be very, very few men left, like it talks about in Psalm 24. So the purpose of the plagues, Exodus 8 and verse 25, the purpose of the plagues is because Yahweh keeps saying, send my people to the wilderness so they could worship me. We have to leave the world. We have to separate ourselves, because you cannot worship Yahweh properly if you're in Egypt. Exodus 8 and verse 25, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go, sacrifice to your Elohim in the land of Egypt. And Moses said, it is not right to do so. For we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to Yahweh or Elohim. Behold, if we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We will go into the wilderness, a journey of 3 days, and sacrifice to Yahweh or Elohim, as he may say to us. So, here it is. Like we said yesterday, you cannot worship Yahweh properly if you're in Egypt. And that's why the plagues are coming, to take his people out to the wilderness, and Yahweh protects his people and makes a distinction between the covenant people and Egypt, the world. But then at the same rate, we understand that there will be a death of the firstborn. There will be a martyrism that is actually an honor. You know, the Apostle Peter and all the apostles were martyred. Some believe the Apostle John wasn't. I believe he was, from some of the things I read, and also from what Yeshua said in Matthew 20. But the Apostle Peter, what happened was that he was in Rome, and he knew they were coming, and the brethren were trying to get him out of there. And they actually snuck him away and took him out of the city. And when he got to the gate, he saw Yeshua before him. And he said, you know, Master, what do you want? And he told him the words that he told him in John 20, if you remember, when it said, it showed how he will glorify me. And that's when Peter realized, you know, this is the time. He went back and he said, when he was crucified, he said, I don't deserve the honor to be crucified like my master. Please crucify me upside down. And they crucified him upside down. So martyrism, like I said, you know, in the twinkling of an eye, it's like you're alive and then death and then you're in the kingdom. You know, so there's no time in between. It's actually a blessing and the greatest honor. And that's why I say that the greatest physical honor now is being a Philadelphian, to be protected and blessed and go into the kingdom. But the greatest eternal honor is the Smyrnian. You know, the one who is giving his life for Yeshua and will eternally be blessed for that. But the purpose of the plagues is to get the people out of Egypt, out of the world. We cannot worship Elohim and Satan society. We have to come out and go to the wilderness. Back to Exodus 12. A few more scriptures here and we'll be finished. Back to Exodus 12 and verse 30. Because after that plague, what happened? Pharaoh let the Israelites go. Exodus 12 and verse 30. And Pharaoh arose by night, he and all the servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not a one who had died. And he sent a proclamation to Moses and Aaron by night, and it read, "Arise, go out from the midst of my people, both you and the sons of Israel, and go serve Yahweh according to the word. Take both your flocks and your herds as you said, and go, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were strong on the people to hasten them to send them away from the land, for they said, "All of us will be dead." And the people took up their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their cloth on their shoulders. And the sons of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they asked from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And Yahweh gave favor to the people in the eyes of the Egyptians, and they granted their requests, and they plundered Egypt. And the sons of Israel traveled from Ramses to Sukkot, the men being about 600,000 on foot, apart from the little ones. Drop down to verse 41. And it happened from the end of 430 years, it happened on this day, all the armies of Yahweh went out of the land of Egypt. It is a night of celebration to Yahweh for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is a night of celebration for all the sons of Israel to their generations. So Passover isn't a night of celebration. Passover is a sober night of death. The following night is. So the same way that Yahweh took finally after all these plagues, and he took the Israelites where? Out of Egypt, because they couldn't serve him properly there, and he took them where? To the wilderness. We see the same parallel here, Revelation 12. Revelation 12, 13 and 14. Revelation 12 and verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he pursued the woman who bore the male child. And two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished there for a time and times and half a time away from the serpent's face. And verse 17. And the dragon was enraged over the woman and went to make war with the rest of her seed, those keeping the commandments of Yahweh and having the testimony of Yeshua. So again, the Philadelphians are taken to this place of safety. They're taken out of Egypt the same way the Israelites were taken out of Egypt. But the Laodiceans, who were not preparing now, the Laodiceans, who were the ones who were denying that this is happening, unfortunately, they got left behind. And most of them are going to be the martyrs. Most of them are going to be the one that... Because I say that... You know, how does Yahweh know? Yahweh's got to test us. I always say life is a test. Well, how on earth can he know when you're talking about eternity? You know, I look and it boggles my mind that people can't stay faithful for just 10 or 20 or 30 years. You're talking about eternity, trillions and zillions of years, and someone can't stay faithful for just that. You know, we have people that are baptized a year later, they're falling away. Not even a year you could stay faithful. So Yahweh's got to test us. He's not just going to make a million more, a billion more Satan the devils. He's got to see if you really mean it. So how does he test us? He tests us by faith. That's the test. So now, while things are good, and now they're getting worse, but I'm saying when things are good, that's the time that he wants to see. Everything's perfect. No one's forcing this person. Is he doing the right thing? Are they following what I say? Are they taking it serious? While there's no problem, while there's no plague, while there's no trouble. Because you know what? Like I say, every single crook that comes before the judge is repentant. Every single one when they're caught, right? They're reading that little thing. I am so... What's that word?
Sorry. Sorry.
I am so sorry for what I did. They're not sorry. They're sorry they got caught. If they were sorry for what they did, they would stop doing it. They would change. They would repent. And Yahweh knows there's a lot of Laodiceans out there that simply will not change now. So for the people that are taking it serious, for the people that are changing, for the people that are living this every day, he doesn't have to test them. They're the ones he takes to protection to get away from it. But to the Laodiceans, he still loves them. And the tribulation is their last chance, but they're going to have to give their life for it because they're not showing him now. And that will be the thing. They're going to have to stand up there and they're going to have to give their life and they're going to have to die, many of them, for it, as it says it here. The bride leaves for the wilderness. The Laodicean is left behind. We need to learn the lessons that the Israelites did not learn. Only one place to learn those lessons is in the wilderness. Ezekiel 20 and verse 34. And as much as COVID and vaccines and Mark of the Beast are realities in our time today, this has got to be our reality also. The fact that it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean the word of Yahweh is going to be broken. Ezekiel 20 and verse 34. And I will bring you out from the people and gather you from the lands in which you were scattered among them with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. And I will be judging with you there face to face. Just as I was judging your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so I will be judging you, declares Yahweh, declares Adonai Yahweh. So here it is. Can you imagine? We're looking. Every single thing that happened in Egypt is every single thing that happens in Revelation. And now what is he saying? Just as your fathers were in the wilderness, just as you'll be in the wilderness. Same exact parallel. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, right? Showing ownership. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge from among you the rebels and the transgressors against me, the non-believers, right? The ones who have no faith. And I will bring them out from the land where they reside, but they will not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Yahweh. So you know when really, when everything breaks down and the chaos is here, some of these Laodiceans then will be trying to run and hide to save their own skin. But they won't be doing it because of Yahweh. And he says, but they're not going to enter the land of Israel. Because in the end of it, where does that bride end up? 144,000 Mount Zion. You know, Revelation 14. But the rebels would not be there. We need to learn the lessons that the Israelites did not learn. Only one place to learn them is the wilderness. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians 10. It's like half of my scriptures have 1 Corinthians 10 in it, maybe more. Because that's the only scripture there that says all this is written just for us. 1 Corinthians 10. And I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized to Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock following, and that rock was Messiah. Yet Elohim was not pleased with most of them, for they were scattered in the deserted place. But these things became examples for us, so that we may not be lusting after evil, as those indeed lusted. Neither be idolaters, even as some of them were. As it has been written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor should we commit fornication, as some of them fornicated, and 23,000 fell in one day. Neither let us tempt the Messiah, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Neither should you murmur, as also some of them murmured, and perish by the hand of the destroyer. All these things happen to those as examples, as it was written, for our warning, on whom the ends of the world have come. And last year I gave a sermon on each of these, breaking it down. All the things that happened to the Israelites were for our example today in the last generation. We must prepare, we must realize how weakened we have become living in the facade of the Babylonian system of Satan. You will not get to the promised land if you stay in Egypt, the world. The only road to the promised land is through the wilderness. The same plagues that Yahweh brought on Egypt are coming on the world today in our time. We are not strong enough to overcome on our own. We must enter the wilderness of Yahweh and allow His Spirit to guide and lead us. And surrender to Yahweh in all things. Let Him fight our battles and overcome our false paradigms. So the next verse, verse 12, says, so he who thinks he stand, let him be careful that he not fall. So, right? As we're looking at all these things and the examples we need to learn, it's only trusting Yahweh that's going to get us through. It's not going to be whatever those foods are called, EMP, those military foods. It's not going to be being a prepper. It's not going to be storing 30 years of food. It's not going to be having solar suits for radiation. He who thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. It's only going to be total trust in Yahweh. Because Yahweh's the one, like I said, the Israelites, they did nothing. They stood back and saw the salvation of Yahweh. And Yahweh made that distinction between the world and his people. And here we are today. Here we are today, right? It's 3,500 years later, but now it's the second wilderness, and now the plagues have already started, and now these things are happening, and we're already seeing it. We're already seeing whether it's the COVID that's very, very sad that so many have died in the world, but it hasn't affected Yahweh's people. Whether it's the plague of the locusts, we see it. Every single thing was destroyed around it, not with the people of Yahweh. But we have to believe these things are real. The way out of tribulation is through the wilderness. We must seek it now. We must separate from the world as it corrupts us every day of our life. The Israelites were only protected in the camp of Yah. If someone stayed behind in Egypt or left the wilderness to go back to Egypt, they were on their own. They had no protection. Let us embrace this great road before us, knowing that Yahweh and his cherubs will go before us every step of the way. Yahweh bless. Shabbat.